We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
It is a final from Detroit, the game, the series, and the road trip, and it ends with a, check this out, a 19-0 victory for your Milwaukee Brewers. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show hooks up with Wendy's Big Show today. And a lot to get to on this show, as we're going to hear from manager Craig Counsell and celebrate a Brewers, just a runaway freight train of a victory. I'm assuming Gary Ellerson is here, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Is that the rundown here?
It's Gary, me, and you, correct.
That's the rundown.
Okay. 19-0 and just 19 games left, and with the Bucks saying adios to the season here, I'm kind of wondering if everyone's going to at least start taking a little peek here and there at the Milwaukee Brewers here in the 2020 championship season. You know, at least take a little gander. They're in a pennant. Hold on, Dan Plucker behind the glass over there. What is the current? How many games out of a playoff spot are the Brewers with 19 to play?
Looks like 2.5 after today's game.
Okay, 2.5. And how many behind the St. Louis Cardinals? This is going to get everybody all caught up. So they're 2.5 behind in the wild card standings, but how many behind the St. Louis Cardinals?
1.5 behind the Cardinals.
That is the key number right there, because you've got half these games are against the St. Louis Cardinals. And keep in mind, the first two.
So what do we got, 2 weeks left in the season? What do we got left here?
Yeah, 19 weeks? Games, Gary, and it's just in 17 days.
17 days. Okay, rough. Okay.
So,
all right, here we go. Win a pennant race.
And nine or 10 of these games are against the St. Louis Cardinals. And they're a game and a half back of St. Louis. In each division, first place and second place hits the postseason. So, you're 2.5 back of Miami and San Francisco in the wild card race, but you're only a game and a half back, and you've got all those head-to-head games against the St. Louis Cardinals. Additionally, I don't know if you can rule necessarily out the division. You are 5 back with 19 to play. Now, that is pretty daunting, but the saving grace there, guys, is that you do play 3 against the Cubs starting this Friday. So you could pick up 3 there if you suddenly get hot, but just when we are super concerned about the Brewers' offense, they bust out with 19 runs in this one, and you know, Green Bay, Packers, football rules supreme around here. I understand all that. I also know that they fire up noon on Sunday. You guys have the Green and Gold postgame show, firing up your first show after the game on Sunday, you and Bill, Gary. But I'm just wondering, in the meantime, since there's no like day-to-day activity with the Milwaukee Bucks, if maybe, just maybe, some fans are going to just at least, you know, start taking a look, take a peek, and follow the Brewers just a little bit more during the week.
Probably not. But either way, it'll be fun to see what happens. No, I'm joking. I think you're going to get Brewer fans kind of looking at it. But I think the biggest problem that I'm seeing, at least on Twitter, when I filled in for you the one night on the postgame show, what was it, last weekend, Labor Day week, when I filled in Saturday night for you, and I'm talking about, hey, look, man, I mean, you're really close here. How big of a deal is it to you that, you know, you make the postseason for 3 years in a row? How big of a deal is it going to be for you? And I got a lot of, who cares, the season doesn't count. Who cares about the Brewers this season? Let's bring on the Packers. I mean, that's a lot of what I got. There doesn't seem to be a lot of people really holding in high regard anything that happens this year in Major League Baseball because of the season being shortened to, you know, 60 baseball games. And even then, a lot of these, well, not a lot, but there'll be a couple of these teams that won't even get to play 60.
Additionally, guys, does it make a difference that the pandemic hit and it affected all of sports? And we'll see how that affects football for sure. And we would expect some bumps in the road along the way, maybe, hopefully not. But I just wonder if it eases the blow a little bit. I mentioned this last night on the Bucks and Brewers postgame coverage here on The Fan, that you know, you sort of have a built-in excuse a little bit, don't you? Does it ease the pain a little bit of a Bucks loss yesterday? And maybe it's too soon to ask that question. Does it ease the pain if the Brewers don't hit the postseason again? I'll just speak on my behalf. It doesn't mean I don't get pissed at a Brewers offense, which is up until this point has been pretty bad. But it does sort of have a built-in excuse here. I don't know if other fans look at it that way. That, yeah, you'll seize the advantage, take advantage if you happen to win the World Series or win the NBA title or whatever. But since you didn't, it's almost like, you know, your main guys all got hurt at the same time. You have an excuse there. I'm just wondering if fans look at, you know, the bowing out of the Bucks, the Brewers if they don't make it, if the Packers don't do what the expectations are. If you do sort of have this pain eased a little bit by the pandemic.
I would say no. Look, that sucked last night. That series sucked. Regardless if it was a pandemic, regardless of how tough it was to be in the bubble for these guys and everything else, I get all that. But we're talking about from a fan perspective, right? That's what you're asking about.
Yeah.
So no, it doesn't make it any easier for me as a fan that the Bucks get knocked out. It's not going to make it any easier for me if the Brewers fall short of the playoffs or whatever the case may be with the Brewers happens. If the Packers miss the playoffs, that's not going to make it any easier for Packer fans going forward as well. And really, from the NFL standpoint, Gary can speak more of this, it's going to be a little bit more normal than what we're seeing with baseball and basketball, Gary, because the schedule is relatively the same for the most part. Now, you'll even have fans in some stadiums. By the end of the year, you may have fans in all the stadiums. But in the beginning, some won't have any. Like Packers, Vikings this week won't have fans. But some games will have fans.
It was reported, and I think, well, this was a couple of weeks ago I heard, I thought that the game tomorrow night will have a limited number of fans. I don't know if they've gone back on that. I haven't seen anything else. But I thought there were going to be a limited number of fans tomorrow night because forget NFL is actually kicking off tomorrow night. Yes, the Packers play on Sunday. I would say this moving forward, you're right about the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, listen, there are a lot of angst around the Milwaukee Bucks where there should be. And right now, I think if you look at the Milwaukee Brewers, and you're right, they're in some sort of pennant race right now, and the season is on the lines right in front of them. You talk about the Cardinals, you talk about the Cubs, you play them, you win, you're in. I mean, that's as simple as that. Now, you know, what is the interest level in that with the Brewers playing right now? Well, most certainly, I thought there were a lot of interest in the Milwaukee Bucks in the bubble. And currently, I mean, I just haven't, and Tim, you would know more about this than I do, but I think once playoffs come, I think it get ratcheted up a little bit. I think the interest becomes a little bit more interesting for a lot of people where they will catch on to this and start watching the Brewers a little bit more than they have been because the Bucks are gone.
Because the Bucks are gone. But I will say this, that, you know, I do like
year,
I said, I get upset with losses. And I'm not particularly pleased with the Bucks bowing out. Number one, I'm a fan. Number two, I had a whole bunch of money riding on them to win it all. This coronavirus, this pandemic, affected a lot of people. I get that. But just since we're talking about sports, the shutdown affected this Bucks team beyond belief. They had everything going for them, guys. They did. I have no problem saying that the excuse why they bowed out in the second round of the playoffs is because of the shutdown. They had everything going. The best record in the NBA. The defense was stellar. The coaching was good. Giannis was awesome. The mojo was working. They were smiling, having fun, the whole deal, and stop. It all stopped. That's the reason why. So does it ease the pain a little bit because of that? Of course, for me, it does. I have the excuse. The other teams had to do it too. But the other teams that were stinking for most of the year, they got a chance to reset, go to a neutral zone, and just say, ah, what the hell? We got nothing to lose here. Why don't we do this? And some of them are doing it. I'm just saying, I think there is a built-in excuse here for me that you can lean on. Now, you do have still one team, two teams, with Green Bay coming up on Sunday. You have two teams that are still alive that you could – maybe this is the team. The Brewers are the team that says, yeah, what the hell? We got nothing to lose here. Why don't we just start playing a little bit better baseball? We'll be in this thing, get in the playoffs, see what happens. You never know. You don't ever know. Instead of playing about 16.3 million highlights here in a Brewers 19-0 victory, we'll get you a couple throughout the afternoon here while I'm here. But also, if you want to comment on whether or not that interest level is going to peak a little bit more for you guys with Brewers baseball, being on the fringes of that chase there, I'll admit that. They've been on the fringe the entire year. Some would say they're just a bad baseball team. Well, again, we're dealing with uncertain sports landscape here. It's hard to judge all this. It really is. Also, if you do have the built-in excuse, if things don't go right for your team, you want to jump in here, 414-799-1250. I don't want to be called the loser mentality. I don't, and I don't want to sound like that.
I don't
think
anybody's ever said that about you. Okay. Ever.
Well, I'm making up a big excuse. The shutdown that cost the Bucks possibly an NBA title. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that it cost them the entire season. Now, how do they recover? We can talk all day long about that. Well, the Brewers, on the other hand, were their expectations where the Bucks were? Of course not. They weren't. The Bucks were
not when your payroll's like $30 million less. No.
Yeah, the Bucks were, their expectations were to get to the NBA Finals and possibly win it, right? They were one of the front runners. If not for a while of the season, they were the front runner. Brewers, not so much. 30-1 to win it, something in there, 25, 30-1. Okay, so now you just have this built-in kind of acceptance, if you will. That's the way I look at it. 799-1250, you want to jump in here?
Sure.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, Wendy's Big Show. And we will get to a break here, come back. A Corbin Burns absolute gem today. Also, some fun numbers going inside the box. We'll hear from manager Craig Council. And Gary's friends over at Pella Windows and Doors, they sponsor the On Deck Show, among other things. Gary Ellerson.
We keep talking about the 555. A lot of people ask me about what is the 555, guys. Well, here's what 555 is. My good friends over at Pella Windows and Doors and Gina Della has been telling me about this, Gary, and it's back. We had it before. It's back now, guys. It's 5 years, no interest, and 5 months before your first payment, plus a 5% bonus saving. The 555 deal from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and the bonus savings applies to windows and doors and installation. Nobody else is doing that, folks. Replace now, get 5% bonus savings, and on top of 5 years, no interest, and 5 months before your first payment, that's not until 2021. Yep, Pella now, pay later, plus bonus savings. If you order by September 15th, certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Stop by your nearby showroom or Pella Experience Center or set your free consultations today, guys, at PellaWI.com.
Mr. Gary Ellerson on Pella Windows and Doors, 799-1250. I need to get these guys in here. Brian, you're calling from Detroit, listening on the radio.com app, and you're saying that this should have been a no-hitter. Corbin Burns, by the way, seven shutout innings on one hit. He struck out 11, no walks, was just outstanding today.
Yeah, this is Brian, your pal, the guy that goes to all the baseball stadiums.
Absolutely, I know you, Brian, yeah.
Yeah, I went out to Detroit because I wanted to see the stadium, so I came out here. But yeah, if it wasn't for Willie Smith, the Brewers would have should have had a no hitter. Mm-hmm. They got Willie Smith, and they have a no hitter today.
It was close, yeah.
Yeah.
So hold on a second. You drove to Detroit to just sit out in the parking lot, or what?
No, I didn't sit in the parking lot. No, I'm at a bar right now.
Attaboy. All right.
Watching the game on YouTube.
On YouTube. They got the game on in the bar on YouTube, you said?
That's beautiful.
No, I got it on my laptop at a bar.
Oh,
Oh,
that's the way to go.
Well, what do they have on in the bar then?
They got like tennis. They got the Clippers against Denver.
Old game, yeah. All right.
Yeah, and they got old games.
Perfect, well, Brian. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, safe to safe travel.
All right.
Have you guys ever been down in that party district near these stadiums downtown Detroit?
I've been into downtown Detroit. I think, is that the MGM casino that's downtown Detroit?
Yeah, there's a couple of them.
I have gambled at that casino before, but I've not been down there for that. I've been down there for a Tigers game. I walked there from, where do we go? A pizza place? Me and Jeff Rieger. And Dave Metcalf years ago went to a Tigers game down there to that stadium.
Yeah, they've really improved things a lot down there. They really have. It's a fun place, and everything's walkable and the whole deal. So Brian is having a good time there. Let's get Trav in here. Trav, you're on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, Wendy's Big Show. What's up?
How's it going, Tim and guys? I'm sort of like you, you know. The mind can justify this year, and I could blame. But the Bucks, till Giannis gets that shot, they're gonna be who they are. My paper man is late every morning, so I haven't been able
to
keep up with
papers?
The standings at work. So I was gonna put my Brewers stuff away today, bring out my Packers stuff. But now they're only 2.5 back or whatever.
Well, you can put your
Bucks out.
You can put your Bucks stuff away. That'll get you some room.
Oh yeah, but I'm going to bring out the Packers stuff too. I'm going to keep the Brewers stuff out. But I think I have more faith maybe in the Brewers than the Packers.
Oh, boy. Okay, Trav.
Right, guys. 8-8, 9-7 at best. No receivers.
Yeah, we'll get into that tomorrow or Friday.
Base hit now, kid.
We gotta go. Goodbye. I don't stop. All this better than the Brewers stuff. Goodbye.
Those that have listened to the station for a long time, you could read between the lines. We are all sort of like, especially us three. So there's Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Viper, and myself. We all have our we root behind the scenes. For like the Brewers to take the center stage, and then Gary's over there to
Packers.
No way, it's got to be Pat. And Stevie's like, "Nah, Bucks. I got to win a championship." It's true.
It's very true. No question. I want to bring up something to you that I brought up to Gary while the game was going on. To Gary and Leroy, I cannot remember a person for Brewers, Bucks, Packers, at least those three, maybe in sports. I don't know where you have a player that's essentially pretty much out of the sport and sent home and given up on one season, and the next season comes back and is one of the best in the sport at his position, like Corbin Burns has turned out to be this year. From last year, pretty much being relegated to Arizona in the pitching lab, not even in the minor league system, to this year, now after today, having a sub-2 ERA. That is crazy.
One of the better pitchers in the game. And those that don't know the story, I mean, in 2018, he comes in out of the bullpen, has about 20 appearances, just outstanding. Him and Woody out of that bullpen and that run they had in 2018. Like, I don't know, little over two ERA. Very next year, last year, comes out of the chute and was horrible. Just awful. So they took him out of the rotation, demotion. Then it didn't work well in the bullpen. Demotion again. He sent him to the minors. Didn't do well in the minors. Can't figure it out. Starts to get in his head. They shut him down. Maybe a mental break is going to help him. Then they say go to the facility in Arizona to the lab, the pitching lab, and let's take a look at you. Peck and poke and prod at you and see what's going on. He then goes to get a somewhat of a mental coach. And to clear his head and to, I mean, it really is a success story. You're right, Stevie. That is a really cool story, but he is amazing this year. Just outstanding. He is, by the way, your Chevy MVP brought to you by Chevy. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer or at WisconsinDriveChevy.com.
Got some news from the guy that waves in airplanes on the big show, Dan Plucker, other side of the glass.
All right, so we got some breaking news. Breaking news on the Fan brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. The Vikings just announced that Danielle Hunter has been placed on the IR, meaning he will miss at least the first 3 games of the NFL season, so he will not be active against the Packers on Sunday.
That's good news, Gary, right? No Danielle Hunter to worry about for this Packers offensive line?
Yeah, good news. We're going to need it because we won't know who the right tackle is, and they won't tell us.
I think it's going to be Leroy.
You can't report on it, can you?
We can. We can say whatever we want. It's just if you're at practice, you can't say anything one way or the other. But again, I mean, that right tackle position, and we're going to get away from things here. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show. Right now, talking about this Brewers game, Tim.
Yeah, this game, a 19-0 victory for the Brewers, and as we were discussing, 2.5 back in the wild card, and that's the number that everyone's just going to look at. You look at the standings, you look at the wild card, the 1-8, and you see that, oh, they're not even 1-8. But the more important number here is 1.5 back of the St. Louis Cardinals for second place. That's the deal right there. In fact, you've got the Cardinals coming in. After the Cubs 3 this weekend, Cardinals coming in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's double headers on both Monday and Wednesday.
There's so stupid.
5 games.
So stupid.
In 3 days that you can end up in second place easily after those 5 games. And after those 5 games coupled with the Cub 3, you're going to be down to 11 games left in the season.
Yeah, season will be, you'll know whether or not you're still in it after that.
Now, are you reserving some hope for the Milwaukee Brewers here? Based on those numbers, I don't see how you can't,
hey,
no matter how it looks or how they're playing, how can you not think that they're at least in this thing?
I got a news and note for you here from Adam McKelvey on Twitter, which is really kind of cool. I'm sure you already knew this because your favorite player was Robin Yount. So today was the day that Robin Yount had his 3,000th hit in Brewers history. You know
that.
They scored 19 runs today on the anniversary of his 3,000th hit. And it's also Roberto Clemente Day as well, and yeah, they tallied 21 hits today, did the Milwaukee Brewers.
There we go.
That's pretty good stuff.
That's cool stuff. Yeah, they broke the franchise mark for extra base hits in this game as well with 13. The doubles were like eight or nine doubles in this game. Man, just a beat down. And, hey, every game is magnified. We all know that. And I know it's disappointing with what happened last night with the Bucks surrendering their season right there. But Brewers, maybe you take a little bit more interest. We'll talk all three where that interest level is. Packers firing up their championship season on Sunday. Bucks bow out. Brewers in the thick of their race. So we'll take a break here. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show coupled up with the Wendy's Big Show. Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Tim Allen. Brewers win today. We'll be back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing Are You Kidding Me? Moment of the Game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Now, this is a rare occurrence here. You get a 19-run output for the Milwaukee Brewers. It really, really is rare. So I'm a little confused. Are you kidding me? We're confused with whether or not we should play Brewers highlights or not.
We got a lot of them. We
don't have all damn day to play them.
Yes.
That's the "are you kidding me" moment of the game. Plus, you look up at 19 runs. I mean, are you kidding me? Corbin Burns, though, that's the... that really is what it comes down to in this one. Yeah, the offense puts up 19, but Corbin Burns is going to fly under the radar because the splash value of a 19-run output, that really is what the flashpoint is. He's your spark of the game, although I would say that guys like Luis Urias, who knocked in 5 runs in this game, Jed Jerko had a couple of home runs
That's
in this
Gary's
game.
That's Gary's favorite player.
I like Jed Jerko, too.
Yeah, I love Jed Jerko.
Let's see, but the spark of the game really is
Taylor had a good game too.
Yeah, he did. I believe a triple shy of the cycle for Tyrone Taylor.
I've been saying for 2 weeks prior to them calling him up, they should bring him up and play him every day in center and be done with it until he gives you a reason not to play him. Let him play out there every day, play Braun at first, let Yelich and Garcia play the corners, and let's move on in life. Gives you
Braun
your best
can't
lineup.
Play. Brawny can't play for some odd reason.
Can't play what?
Can't play play.
Play
like,
play?
Can't play.
Like play first base or just in general?
Had a multi-hit game, including a two-run shot today, but he can't play every day.
Well, no. That's... He's old. His body's breaking down. You know, the whatever he was taking back in the day, probably catching up to him a little bit, or maybe that's why he was taking it, so he wasn't breaking down every other day and couldn't stay on the field. That's fine. Then you play Jerko on the days Braun can't play. Gary's guy. I'm fine with that. But then at least when Braun is playing, your lineup, because again, I just think Taylor's a better hitter than some of these other guys they got on this team at this point, as far as that can be in there. That lineup today, Garcia leading off, Keston Hira, Yelich, Jurkel, Braun, Arcia, Urias, Taylor, Nottingham. That's not a horrible lineup, because Arcia and Urias have both been hitting fairly well this year. And then you look at the box score, you got two guys with three hits, two guys with four hits, and it was all the bottom of the lineup from Braun down is where all the offense really was coming from today.
Karma gets you. You know that? It just does. I got a text before the game. Did you see the lineup? From a buddy of mine. Did you see the lineup? The 6, 7, 8, and 9 hitters, and just put LOL. So you might want to look at that box score, because now the deal with Braun, Gary, you could probably attest to this a little bit more than others. I won't necessarily say that I'll give him a pass per se, because I don't know all the information. Obviously, he's hurt to the point where he cannot play every day, or he would be playing. Would that be a true statement?
Well, I told Steve this going in. I mean, Steve was asking me, I said, well, how many games did he play? 60 games?
You're right.
And Steve goes, well, how many games do you think he'll play? I said, probably 30.
And I said, they ain't going to the playoffs if he only plays 30.
and that's just the way it is. You just got to band-aid this joker and hope you get to the playoffs and that he can carry a big stick for you in the playoffs. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And so that's what you're looking at right now. I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, that this whole pandemic happened to him right now. I mean, you were hoping that he could have a great year and really come back for one more year, but you're just going to have to pacify him through all this. He's going to get hurt. He's injury prone. And you're just trying to get him to the postseason. And I mean, really, that's what it's all about to me. I think they can get there still.
Yeah, and hopefully they're handling him, if you will. The maintenance of when he plays and how much he plays, hopefully that's going to pay off with a run down the stretch. That's the thing. If it doesn't, then you're dealing with the same sort of thing. Craig Counsell said yesterday that, you know, I've got 9 guys out there, you know, for 8-man offense, and, you know, they're all going to get about the same at-bats, and I about fell off the stool. I mean, they're not all interchangeable parts. As much as this team likes versatility, you can't just put them on the equal playing field here. Yelich is better than Sogard. Yelich should have more ABs than Sogard. So I didn't understand where that was coming from. But regardless, in terms of Ryan Braun, can't you, like, because he's got a situation with his back, can't you, like, shoot him up with something to just kind of ease the pain a little bit and then just run him out there again until he runs back to California?
Gary, what do you say?
I mean, I don't know. I think when you look at what they're trying to do, Timmy, for me, and I say it again, I think it's just about the postseason. What can you do to get him to the postseason, right? Because that's really what he's going to make his hay at. I mean, that's really – and I know you're trying to make it there. Maybe you don't think you can make it there without him, but I think that's what it's all about. I think that's what it's going to be about if he comes back next year. It's about the Band-Aid approach of getting him to the postseason and how they're going to be able to do it. And he comes up with some weird injuries where it feels like they're sprains and strains, but they're, I mean, it's not like an ankle, right? I mean, it's not like a hamstring. He has some of the oddest injuries I've ever seen before in my life.
Yep. Yep.
Where it requires rest, and that is the only way he can get better.
I hear, like,
I mean, look at the injuries. I mean, look at some of the stuff he's been out with. It's just been weird. What was the last? Was it a finger or something? What did he do?
Nerve in his thumb.
What did he do?
Who knows? I've never heard of it before. It was some sort of cryotherapy treatment on the nerve of his thumb.
Some of the weirdest thing ever. And so, which requires rest. I mean, there's no way it could get better.
Well, abdomen. A lot of torso stuff.
He has a lot of torso stuff. Which
obliques,
now,
baby. That's the injury the last 10 to 15 years.
Requires rest. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do for that.
Never heard of oblique injuries 20 years ago. I know that.
No, but it's lower back. It's oblique. It's abdominal. You're right. I never really thought of it that way. That, boy, the injuries just, like, when you break a bone, You know, sometimes you'd rather break a bone than soft ligament damage, because then you can't babysit that stuff as accurately. You break a bone, you know what's going on. You let it heal up, and it's healed up, and you're all good. Break a kneecap. Look at Christian Yelich. Broke a kneecap.
And, we don't want that to happen, but yeah.
All right. I mean, well, maybe it'll pay off for Ryan Braun down the stretch. Brewers 2.5 back in the wild card, 1.5 games out of second place, 5 games out of first place. Still reserving some hope for the Brewers here in the 2020 campaign. I think it's just bonus baseball here. I do. I think it's
baseball.
It's just such a crazy season that you're seeing, you know, you're seeing a lot of this around the league as well. Some numbers that are disturbing for, you know, a lot of superstar players and
well,
the shutdown.
Are down.
They really are. And that's the thing that you professional athletes are such creatures of habit. And that's not a bad thing.
I think baseball players are more so than any other sport.
I would agree. And so when they're taken out of that regiment, they're taken out of what they do, you know, they're just starting to ramp up in March there. And they're starting to ramp up a couple of weeks away from getting out of spring training. And the starters are down to their final 2 appearances, and then they're ready to, and then a shutdown. Well, now what do we do? Okay, how long is it going to be shut down? Well, it's only going to be about a month. It's just going to be about, you know, 6 weeks. We'll get back up and going. Let's just shut this thing down for 2 weeks. Now they don't know what to do for 2 weeks. Do I work out? Do I throw? Do I continue to throw? What if the shutdown is longer? Then it got to be the months it did, and it was Crazyville. It was a trip to Hollywood because you were throwing to your wife, you were throwing to your buddies, you were throwing to against the wall on a farm, against the barn door, for crying out loud. That had to impact different people different ways. And you talk about creatures of habit, obviously Christian Yelich is one of them. That dude shouldn't be batting around 200. There's no way he should be batting around 200.
I had said this to Steve earlier, though. I mean, That knee injury, you just can't just go, oh, hum, well, whatever. I mean, that was a significant injury. And then to try to get back in a box again and try to do it all over again is mentally very taxing.
I wonder.
Then you add in everything else that goes with it, yeah. You know, what you just described. To me, though, you just can't forget about it. This guy had a major injury.
Yeah, and it was
not a reconstruction of the knee, but still, you got to get back in that box and feel comfortable about what you're doing.
For as many shows that I've done on the post game this year, Gary, it's only been brought up once that was influencing some bad numbers for Christian Yelich, was the kneecap. Just one time. It's the only time it's ever been brought up. Now you're number 2.
That's what former players do. They try to give you an insight, what you normal guys wouldn't think. Ask your son about it. I mean, go get hit a couple, 2-3 times and see, you know, and have something, you know, really. Now, if you get hit in the back, right arm, and you know you got a bruise, you're good. But when you get something like he, I mean, you know, you start thinking about your career flashes right in front of your face.
Yep.
That dog, I could have shattered the whole doggone thing.
Yeah, I you're right. I went through it. The first hamstring injury, you know, you're a little unclear.
You are. Even that's a good one. Yeah.
Right, but then the second hamstring tear. That one, you know, and so now right. you're a crying mess. So I get that. They know, but I wonder how much of an impact that had. Let's get in Dave here. Dave, you're on the Wendy's Big Show, Bayview Shade and Blind post game show.
Hey Tim.
Hey Dave.
You know, hey guys. Hey Gary. You know,
hey Dave.
I haven't called since the season started.
Why is that, Dave?
Because you know how I feel about Craig Counsell.
How do you feel about Craig Counsell, Dave?
Oh, Gary, we've had this conversation.
Let's have it again. You want Craig fired, too?
Well, you know, here's my thing. I was the one who said he should be 15-5 in the first games.
Okay.
Because of the expanded roster. And then what does he do? I mean, I'm not going to rehash all that. All I want to say is this, and I want you
to think about this.
You to think about this tomorrow.
All right.
I listen to Bill Schroeder every day say he got to find an offense. He's got to find. So they get 9 runs in the game a couple weeks ago. We had 5 home runs. 4 home runs are sitting on the bench the next night. You know,
that's Craig.
If you're trying to find an offense, how much do you want to bet that this lineup, even if he mixes and matches where these guys bat in the order is not going to be there tomorrow.
Agreed. 100%.
Yeah. Well, hold on, Dave. No. I'm going to keep
he's
you
going
right
for
here.
The he's record. Right. He's going for the record with the most lineups in a 60-game season.
No, well, hold on. No, that's one perspective, and I understand that, Dave. I like playing the hot hand, too, at times. But one could make the argument that the reason those four homers got hit is because Craig put him in that situation to do that.
Well, then you could argue that the reason this offense isn't going is because he's put him in the situation not to.
Good.
Hey, Sparky.
Right, Dave?
Tim, all the guy does is throw crap at the wall to see what sticks.
That's this
year. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's just, this year is weird.
Yeah. Dave, thanks for the call.
You know what? See, Steve, you want him fired, too?
No, I don't want him fired. I think he's one of the best managers in baseball.
Okay,
but this year, like I said, coming in, it's one of the least talented rosters he's had. Well, it is the least talented roster that Stearns has given Craig Counsell coming into this season.
True.
This is where my issue is, though. Going back to what Dave just said. So once you know you don't got the talent, then move on from the talent, which they have. Rockhold, see ya. Now he's sitting like 400 with
Logan
the Nationals.
Morrison.
But fine, he's going off with the Nationals, so be it. He wasn't working here, bye. Logan Morrison never should have been here to begin with, so he's gone.
Justin Smoke,
he's gone. He's going to the San Francisco Giants now, fine. But then if you're going to bring guys up and if they hit, don't play them one day and then sit them for 3 days and think they should hit when they come back in day four. I mean, Urias comes up, does well, gets sat the next day. Tyrone Taylor can hit. Play him every day. What do you have to lose at this point?
Well, and he does respond to that concern and question with there are going to be times here coming up soon that I have to make decisions faster. I personally believe, I'm with you, Stevie, and Gary, I'm assuming you think he's a good manager as well. I think he's going to be a great manager. That doesn't mean that he doesn't manage a horrible game once in a while, like on Sunday. I was losing my mind on Sunday. I thought it was one of the worst managed games Craig Counsell has ever managed in his career. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a clunker. We all have a mulligan. We all have a bad day on the golf course, too. But he is a good manager. I look at the season number one and number two, the personnel he's got. They took him entirely out of the rhythm.
Sure
they
did.
Gave him a DH. He's a master manipulator on doing double switches, pinch hitting, pitching changes. All of that was taken away from him this year.
Neutralized.
It was an asset of his.
And it may be permanent.
It may be permanent. But see, now you got to just... I know the DH is probably going to be here. It may not be here next year, but the following year, it may be just written in. Yeah,
correct.
To the new CBA. All right, 799-1250. You can talk about the Milwaukee Brewers romp over the Tigers today. 19-0. Bucks bowing out. Excited about the Packers coming up on Sunday as the NFL tries to get some semblance of normalcy in a season. We didn't get that with the NBA. We certainly didn't get that with the Major League Baseball season. We didn't get that with the NHL. But maybe there's some sense of normalcy coming up starting Sunday. This from Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, the Q Club.
Oh, it's been a long time. Another football season is upon us, and the Q Club of Wisconsin welcomes both old and new customers for safe dining and watching the games with a huge entertainment game room and awesome food selection and drink specials. You'll find all your favorites on their menu, from loaded burgers, wraps, wings, plus their Wednesday and Friday legendary fish fries piled high with all the extras. Start the weekend early with their breakfast specials on Saturday and Sunday starting at 9 a.m. Visit their Facebook page or check them out at QClubOfWI.com. QClubOfWI.com for menu and updates. Q Club of Wisconsin, North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Tim Allen.
The spark of the game, I was going to get to that the last segment, but the spark of the game is Corbin Burnes in this one. He was just outstanding today, and he had no-hit stuff. For a while there, I was thinking, you know what? He just might haul off and throw the second no-hitter in franchise history. Just gave up the one hit, no runs, no walks, 11 strikeouts through 7 innings of work. And he faced one over the minimum right there. He's the spark of the game, brought to you by Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. There's your spark of the game. 414-799-1250. Going to hear from manager Craig Counsell coming up. He's got to be pretty pleased as the Brewers end their two-game series with a split in Detroit. Motown wasn't, it was like kissing your sister in there, 1-1. Cleveland didn't go so well on the road trip, so they end up 2-3 on that road trip after coming up 6-4 on their last home stand. So they're just, guys, as bad as this offense is, and I think it's fair to say that. Normally I don't like to be that negative about my quarterback, about my baseball team. I have to be honest on this one, and that is they're a bad offense. They are, despite the 19 runs.
Numbers validate the word bad. Yes, that does.
They do. But for some odd reason, the kookiness and funkiness of this season, it allows them to stay in a playoff push. It's almost like you got to reset your brain to think about it a different way. We're all thinking, you know, I can't believe the temperature outside today.
Hey, where did the sun go? It's a blur. Heat, you guys have your heater on?
No. No.
You?
No.
No. Why?
Well, Gary, I know it. You probably got a little shawl on. You maybe got a little afghan on your lap.
I got a long sleeve shirt on. I got a Packer sweat top on that, and I got one of my winter hats on.
Maybe your heater's broke. Maybe that's the issue. Not,
I don't have it on, but I'm thinking about my nose running right now. I'm thinking about it. Either that, I'm going to go make me a fire in the fireplace. I think I'm going to do a fireplace.
Someone needs to knit you a blanket. You know that? Just lay across like a lap. A lap blanket.
How's your girl knit me a lap blanket, cuz?
She'd be the last one to be knitting or crocheting. No, not to anybody. No. Okay. All right, we'll take a break here. Craig Council is up next if you want to join the conversation. It's 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show, along with the Baby Shade and Blind Post Game Show. Tim, Sparky, Gary, here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind Post Game Show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on The Fan.
They win today 19-0 to take game two of this two-game set over Detroit. And this marked the third time of the season, guys, that they were four games under 500 and bounced back with a victory to obviously get to three. So they're teetering on the brink there. And we all said that elongated winning streak is going to put you in. Elongated losing streak is going to take you out. That's never more clear than right now, because if you go on a losing streak, I'll even join the double.
If you go 0-5 against the Cardinals, it's over.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you got against the Cubs here coming up?
Well, three.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean as much because you're not catching the Cubs. But the Cardinals is who you can catch for second and then secure a spot.
But if the Cardinals continue to win and you lose three against the Cubs, you're in trouble.
You are in trouble, too, if you look at it that way. You got to continue to hold your own. Like I said, Every time they got to four games under, they bounced back with a victory just to give you a breath, just a breathe, I'm not suffocating yet. I need to just get in the playoffs for the third time in third consecutive season that this team, this franchise, would make the playoffs, which, if we're all bearing our souls here.
Sure, let's go for it.
Is pretty pathetic.
You're damn right it is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Bucks history sucks. At least they got a championship, though. Brewers history, not good since Harry Dalton left. Doug Melvin was the next best thing to show up after that, but he didn't get the team of the World Series. Stearns hasn't gotten into the World Series yet either, and Dalton got into a World Series and they lost. And we had a parade for a bunch of guys that lost.
we did, and we had a big celebration in 2008 when they embarked on their journey to Philadelphia because they made the playoffs. Yeah.
A wild card! It wasn't even winning a division! They made the wild card! We partied at Summerfest! Gary and I did our show down there, and yeah, Robin Yount's there as an assistant coach for Dale Swaim and the whole deal, and oh my God.
And then on the other hand, you have the Green Bay Packers, which, I forget what they did under Holmgren, but you know, under McCarthy, it was like, they were in the playoffs for like a million straight years, right? I think maybe one little bump in the road there, wasn't it?
Yeah, and again, that goes back to Bob Harlan, really. I mean, he's the one that turned around because there for a while, they were having as much utility as the Brewers and the Bucks just went through as well. And happy birthday, by the way, to Bob Harlan, who turns 84 today.
And that's why it's so significant here for the Brewers to just hang in here. just get in and reset the deck then. I mean, crazy things happen. I know the Dodgers are going to be tough to beat. If the playoffs were to start now, the first round would be Dodgers against the Marlins. And so, you know, if the Brewers do happen to get that, you know, 8 seed, it would be against the Dodgers again. I could see that happening too. We'll see. Craig Counsell, we were just talking about Craig Counsell. Most believe that he is a good manager. Is that fair?
Yes.
I think so. There are some, though, and points are well taken, like Dave. And Dave and I have discussed Craig Counsell a lot. It's been great conversation the last few years about, you know, this whole versatility thing and this matchup thing. Righty, if you're a right-handed bat, you're going to get a lot of at-bats against left-handed pitcher. So that's putting people in a position to succeed. And I think he's done a good job doing that. However, I think the versatility thing, along with this shutdown, just hurt this team so much. It did. And some of these, you know, players, you could argue Logan Morrison and Justin Smoak and some Brock Holtz and some of the, quote, retreads. Daniel Vogelbach might be in that category as well, but he's got some decent recent history. They're just doing what they can do right now. And that's all, you know, what else are you going to do? You can't get new players.
Well, you can. You can keep going to that taxi squad down in Appleton.
Well, I mean, I guess. Mark Mathias, is that?
See, did he get
Corey
Ray? Did he deserve to get sent down, Mathias?
Not at all.
I think Mathias has been one of their better players this year.
No, he's been fine. But Mark Mathias, I don't think, is ever going to start for many years for a Major League Baseball team.
He can be
team.
A utility player for 10 years.
One hell of a utility player
sure can.
For 10 years. Yeah, yep. No, I see that from him, too. All right, let's get to Craig Counsell here after the Brewers really put everything together. Corbin Burnes, 7 shutout on 1 hit, 11 Ks, and the offense puts up 19.
Craig, where do you feel like we should start with that one, the offense or Burnes? I'm wondering just sort of what's on your mind as you sit down with us.
I'd start with Corbin Burnes, absolutely. I mean, it was just a dominant performance. It was, you know, from start to finish, it was, you know, easy. It was execution. It was pounding the strike zone. Obviously, he's pitching with a ton of confidence right now. So, you know, when you go 7 innings, 1 hit, 11 strikeouts, no walks, we had a huge offensive day, and it made the game, you know, a lot of fun. But that kind of pitching performance is, you got to start with that.
Well, what a difference a year makes for him, Craig. About this time last year, they were kind of rebuilding him, you know, in the lab and trying to get him going. And it had been a, you know, terrible year for him. And now look at him. It's like a whole new guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's it is. It's a big difference from year to year for sure. I don't necessarily think he's been rebuilt. He's not brand new. He's a young player who you know, went through some struggles, had to make some adjustments, and did. Very, you know, this game. Our major league game for young players, there's adjustments required. There's very few guys that are going to step into this league and just kind of control, you know, win all the time, or from a hitter's perspective or a pitching perspective. And so Corbin, you know, got beat up. He got his feelings hurt, and he made adjustments. And that's a credit to him, and it's a credit to his, you know, stick-to-itiveness, to his toughness, that he was able to, you know, not let it beat him, but really motivate him to get better and to make the changes that are going to make him successful. So it is a group effort for sure. A lot of people have contributed to it, and that's an important part of it. But most importantly, Corbin, you know, didn't let it beat him. And that there's something to be said for that.
Craig, was the best part of the offensive performance today just how you got contributions from literally every spot in the lineup, even guys off the bench?
Yeah, I mean, when you score 19, hopefully there's a lot of guys doing stuff good. But I think when the bottom of your lineup does great things, you're going to have a good day. And so, you know, Urias and Arcia and Tyrone Taylor and Jacob, you know, doing good things. That always is a reason that you're going to have success. So those guys had a nice day. Did a lot of good things. You know, they kind of got it started with that second inning or the second inning where we doubled, you know, four guys doubled or whatever. So, yeah, bottom of the lineup, I thought did a heck of a job.
Hey, Craig, Corbin was talking to us just about today and how the slider became more of a pitch against this particular lineup, and he had that combination going with the cutter. So I just wanted to know what you kind of thought about that and what you kind of saw from that and his ability to sort of execute that game plan against this team.
Yeah, I thought he threw a lot of great sliders today. And so this, I think the step for Corbin is kind of the strike slider and then the strike the ball slider. He got a very good slider. And what's always been is that when you get in those counts where you got the advantage, which was in a lot today, can you throw a strike the ball? And where it looks like a strike and you get a swing on it. And that pitch, when you have 96, becomes so tough for a hitter, especially a right-hand hitter to control. They've got to get it started when you're throwing that. You got to get it started when you're throwing 96. And when you can have a slider like that, that can start the strike zone and finish out of the strike zone, you know, you don't have much to do with it. There's going to be some bad swings, and that's what we saw.
Craig, I'm wondering if you'd rather play tomorrow than be off, but you're off. But what will this do just for good feelings, relaxation a little bit, going into a very big homestand?
Look, today was about getting a win. You know, I think we feel the same. You get a win today and you feel good. And that's the big thing. We got a win today, so we did our jobs, and we can enjoy it's our first, like, full off day. And then we know we got 2.5 weeks where we've got to do some good things. We've got to do impressive things. We got to play well. We got, you know, a whole bunch of 13 of the 20 or 13 of the 19 games against teams ahead of us. And so we know we have to, we got to win games, and there's no other way to say it. It's going to take a good effort. We don't have to be perfect, but it's going to take a really good effort.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at liuna113.org.
You know, you do appreciate the honesty there. And I think as a fan, I do too. You just heard Craig Counsell at the end there say that you just have to win games. Whereas a lot of times you will hear coaches and managers just say, we just got to play good baseball and let the chips fall as they may. Nope, not now. I find that a little bit striking here. He's right, but you rarely hear that from people. You rarely hear that from the coaching staff or even the players for that matter. I just want to get a good swing on the ball. Instead of, we need to knock in runs right there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So see the difference? We need to play better baseball. Instead, now it's, we need to win games. Doesn't have to be perfect. I love it. That's what it comes down to. And that's why
I'd like to hear that all year.
Exactly, in a 162. Instead, years ago, we heard the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers say it's the first series of the year, quote, it doesn't mean much.
That was Ned, wasn't it?
That was Ned Yost.
Yeah, our favorite. I miss toasting to Ned.
It's the only time I did shots of booze in the studio.
No doubt. And on location, man, those were the good old days.
Boy, our radio has changed. Boy, oh boy.
Life has changed.
We had a whiskey sponsorship.
Yeah.
And it was they sponsored the Toast to Yost. So each night we had to do a shot of whiskey. I don't know if a lot of people knew that, did they?
Well, they came to remotes, they knew. Yeah.
Well, then they did, yeah.
Yeah.
Out on site. All right,
yeah,
let's check out.
Where was it? It was at Fiesta Garibaldi. That's where we did all of our post-game shows.
Yeah, that was a party.
Yes, it was.
That was girls and carrying on and booze and food, and that was...
the good old days.
Yes, it was.
Those days are gone.
No. No, yeah. They're not. Don't you buy into that, Gary.
Yeah, those days are gone, dude.
Don't do it. No, there's still some fighting you, Gary. Come on.
No, I'm talking about what we used to do.
The radio days.
Yeah.
Radio days. Those days are done. Yeah.
We used to have to put a sheet up on the doggone window so people couldn't walk in on it.
Yeah, that used to be too.
Was that Gentleman's Friday, Steve? What was that?
Well, Free Beer Friday was not what you're talking about. That was
same thing.
The Gentleman's Club sponsorship.
Yeah, I don't remember what that was.
Did an in-studio thing.
Yeah, with Peter Brown back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was in there with Peter Brown.
Well, I know why. You just said why.
Well, we had visitors.
Right. You just told everybody why you were in there.
Well, I was in there. I got to be in there.
This is so not fair for me. It's so not fair. All right, let's check out the numbers. Okay. Brewers win 19-0.
Oh, the stories. Okay, Avi Garcia for the Brewers in a 19-0 win. 2-for-4, 3 runs scored, 2 RBIs, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. That's really good. On a lot of days, he'd be the best player in the lineup. Not today. Keston Hira, 0-for-2 and a walk. How's my favorite player only go 0-for-2 and they score 19 runs? Christian Yelich, 1-for-5, a run scored, an RBI, and 1 walk.
You're two guys there. 1-for-what? Yeah, 1-for-7.
Yep. Two best players in the lineup.
Yeah, you put up 19 runs. Yeah.
Yep. Jed Jerko, Gary's favorite player.
Jed Jerko.
2-for-5, 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs, a walk, and a strikeout. Ryan Braun actually played 3-for-5, 2 runs, 3 RBIs, a walk, and a home run. For Ryan Braun as well. How about that? Jed Jerko, by the way, had 2 homers. Orlando Arcia, 4-for-6, 3 runs scored and a strikeout. Luis Urias, 3-for-5, 2 runs scored, 5 RBIs for Urias today. That's always a nice thing. Tyrone Taylor was 4-for-5, 3 runs scored, 3 RBIs and a home run. Jacob Nottingham, 1-for-5, 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs. He hit a home run, plus he had a walk and 2 strikeouts for the Brewers. Pitching lines, Corbin Burns, 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs, no walks, 11 strikeouts, an ERA of 1.99.
That's crazy.
Even crazier is Eric Yardley, who nobody saw doing what he's doing. 1 inning pitched, 1 hit, no runs, no hits, 1.59 ERA now. And Josh Lindblom, buddy, glad they gave him a multi-year deal. 1 inning, scoreless, his ERA drops down to 6.06. The win, Corbin Burns 3-0 on the year. Boyd with the loss, 1-6. 19 runs, 21 hits, no errors for the Brewers. The Tigers, no runs, 2 hits, and 1 error, Tim Allen.
Yeah, the Brewers 9-22 here. Just 19 games remain here in the 2020 championship season. And they're back home after an off day tomorrow. They've got the Cubs starting on Friday. That's where the blood pressure rises for me. It doesn't matter if you don't think you can catch the Cubs. You know, I don't know about that. You get a sweep here, you're 2 games out of first place.
Correct. Sweep?
Yeah,
the Cubs?
Sweep of the Cubs. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's been known to happen maybe once or twice. But, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Doing 2 of 3 is going to gain you a game against the Cubs, and then you're down to 16 games remaining. That's going to be a little bit... on the more difficult side. Turning point in this ball game brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin. For event and track rental information, log on to greatlakesdragway.com. I know it sounds weird in a 19-zip game and a Corbin Burns 7 shutout innings on 1 hit. The second batter is when I detected that Corbin was going to be on. He won the battle against former Brewer Jonathan Scope. To start the game.
He's having a much better year than he ever did with the Brewers.
I don't know what it is. You take a look at Brock Holt. He did nothing in a Brewers uniform, and then in his last 5 games has 11 hits. So, I mean, maybe it's just change is difficult for some of these ball players. But that second at-bat, a little bit of a battle for Corbin Burns. Once that happened, that turned, and that's your turning point with Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin. If you want to jump in here, 414-799-1250. Corbin Burns is the man today. He was our Chevy MVP, and his ERA at 1.99. Guys, it's a great story. I know JS Online has it. If you just look around for a story, Adam McAlvey has written a ton about Corbin Burns. And I recall back in March in Arizona that he just came right out and came clean about the mental coach and some conversations between the ears, if you will. And that, you know, maybe I'll default to Gary on this, on the mental aspect of it. I mean, physically, physically, we all know what it takes, that it's just a fraction of the population get to do what these guys do, both baseball or hockey or basketball. But between the ears, Gary, that can destroy a guy.
Well, it can, and it has destroyed a lot of guys, and so it's tough to come back from. And those things, you know, you can't quantify them. I mean, you know, the research is still being done. You know, you can't go put ice on it, you know, and so that's, you know, that's the tough part about it. And so it's one of those things that, you know, you got to go see a doctor, and, you know, you just got to get, you know, you have to go see a specialist, so to speak. Those types of things are tough to come back from.
Well, the other thing I think a little part of this is, and this is just my thoughts on this, and, you know, as a kid, you think about some of these professional athletes, and as a kid, you never really had any failure because you're always the best dude on the team. Most of these pro athletes, right. You're always the best guy on the team in Pop Warner or Little League, and then you have Pony League, and then you get into travel ball, and then you get to the high school, same deal. You're second team all conference or first team all state or whatever it is. And then you've had success. And for those that have had success through in baseball, for example, have had success all the way through the minors, which Corbin did. Yeah, everyone gets beat a little bit. You know, even Nolan Ryan and you know, the best of the best have gotten beat occasionally. But for the most part, they've been good the entire run up until they get to the league, in which it levels things off a little bit. And I think part of Corbin's problem last year was his first bout of adversity. It was the first time he couldn't come up with answers, yet everyone for 23 years had been telling him, you're the best, you're great, whispering in his ear, you're the best, you all these accolades, trophies, plaques, and, you know, MVPs and the whole deal coming up. As I said, that, to me, I think plays a part in some of this, guys. It does, and that it's your, now what do I do? And you start doubting yourself. And I wonder if that played a part in Corbin.
Yeah, very well could have. It could have been between the ears, like you're saying. But either way, I think he deserves credit for bouncing back. But, you know, we all kind of made fun of, maybe not you on the postgame show, but I know I kind of did, making fun of the whole pitching lab thing. Oh, that'll fix him. They'll get him in there, and they'll just fix him all up like he's a robot or something, and he'll be just as good as new. And, hey, man, lo and behold, whatever they did in that pitching lab and whatever they came up with at the end of the day with all their videos and analysis and everything else, they got Corbin Burnes figured out, and the Brewers deserve a pat on the butt for this one too, Tim.
Well, they do, and you wonder if it's going to be utilized in the same fashion for other guys. I mean, Adrian Hauser's going in the wrong direction.
Sure is.
He's been horrible. You know, Brandon Woodruff holds his own for the most part, and I think he's pretty strong upstairs and physically and the whole deal. But some of these guys, maybe they've developed a little bit of a blueprint here.
But is Corbin Burnes going to pass him for that ace role by the end of the year?
A lot of people thought Corbin Burnes had the bigger high side, ceiling than Woody. Mm-hmm. I was in that camp.
Yep.
I was.
Yep.
And I'm super high on Woodruff even to this day. So future does look bright with the arms. If you can get Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, Adrian Hauser, Freddie Peralta, of those four, just those four, if you get two to hit to say, you know, maybe star level, maybe not necessarily superstar level, to star level, I think you got something cooking here for the future.
Yep.
Yeah. That's, you got four guys to roll the dice with. And not to say that the other two will be horrible, but maybe just not as good. You mentioned Josh Lindblom in your box there. Lindblom, second time out of the bullpen after having seven starts of just really bad starts, a 6.46 ERA. Now in the last three games, he's had two bullpen appearances, both of them 1-2-3 performances. So maybe that's where you use Josh Lindblom moving forward. He's back in this rotation next year.
Or you just trade him in the offseason and don't worry about it. That's what I would do.
Well, you don't need him.
You do not need him. Listen, if you have Woodruff, Burnes, Hauser all in there,
Peralta
possibly, if they give him another shot, that's four guys. All you need is one more guy and you're good, and they better be able to find somebody better than Josh Lindblom to hold up that fifth role.
Well, I don't know. You can never have too many of them, can you?
No, you can't. But if I can get a single A player for Lindblom, done deal. See ya.
Yeah, but the future does look bright with these arms.
No
doubt. It really does. And you need to put the topper on it, though. I think at some point, you saw it in 2008, you saw CC Sabathia. They put the topper on a decent rotation. You saw it later on in the run with Zach Greinke. You've got the guy, and you put him on top of these. Put one guy on top of these arms. You got a little different outlook with this Brewers rotation. And this is all moving forward, but still some damage to do, games to win here. 19 remain in the 2020 season. We're going to hear from Corbin Burns. And the funny thing, just one final thing on Burns. You hear this guy talk, and you interview him, and you think he's just sort of a mellow, normal, just a dude. But watch him pitch, and you look at the intensity and emotion that goes on out there. It's crazy what being between the lines does to a guy. It's just really crazy how the sight and the sound of both these different aspects of Corbin Burns.
That's really good.
Right. Before we hear from Corbin, we'll hear from Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Sight and Sound Solutions with the internet more important than ever. People working from home and kids home doing online learning, they can help. Get AT&T fiber internet for $39.99 a month. Introducing the new AT&T TV. Check this out. Stream your channel package, DVR cloud storage with unlimited recordings, access to over 40,000 different titles on demand, and access to over 5,000 different apps. Now, you can get the AT&T TV Choice Package, which does include Fox Sports Wisconsin, and the internet for under $89 a month. So that's the Choice Package and internet for under $89 a month. And Al over at Sight and Sound Solutions, my guy, is going to give you $200 in Visa cards for doing it. Wherever Visa is accepted. For existing customers right now, call Al, my guy, over at Sight and Sound Solutions, and he can help you work out a new deal. I've been with Al for several years now with my DirecTV package, and he is amazing when it comes to customer service. It'll be the same for you. Call Al today, 262-754-1500. Sight and Sound Solutions, 262-754-1500. Go with the guy in your own backyard that'll be there when you actually do need the help.
Those of you that want to give your thoughts on the Milwaukee Bucks bowing out of the season here, stick around. Sparky and Gary will have more conversation on
back.
The Milwaukee Bucks. Leroy Butler back. Just a couple of more minutes here. We're going to hear from Corbin Burns going inside the clubhouse and then get back to Bucks. And don't, let's not forget, throughout the day, the night, the morning, Mike Clemens with his reports from Green Bay.
We will also have Matt LaFleur coming up at 4:48, his presser from earlier today as they get ready for the Vikings in Week 1 on Sunday.
Corbin Burns, an absolute beauty today. We're going to hear from the Brewers right-hander next here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Windows Select. Right now, buy one and get one free. Plus, no payments until 2021. Call Windows Select today at 262-703-3500.
Baby Shade and Blind post-game show, along with the Wendy's Big Show after a Brewers 19-zip victory in Game 2 of this two-game set. That's a nice way to close out that small two-game set, as well as the five-game road trip. Corbin Burns, his last five starts, guys, this is nothing new, although this was a gem for sure. But his last five starts, leaning on just a one ERA.
That's crazy.
Overall, 199, but his last five starts, I mean, this isn't just a blip on the radar. This is a good chunk of the season here. One of the better pitchers, or pitching like one of the better pitchers in the game right now. Before we exit, you guys get back to talking Bucks basketball, among other things. Let's hear from the Brewers right-hander.
Corbin, can you think back to a year ago when you were back from the lab and getting your feet back under you? Are days like today sort of what you envisioned in your mind?
Yeah. We put in a lot of work this offseason, even over quarantine, to try to find a pitch mix that was going to work the best with, obviously, the slider from last year. And some of the things that we did with the two-seam and developing the changeup kind of opened some doors and give me a lot more options to not only be a left-hander, but also the right-hander as well.
Hey, Corbin, was the slider-cutter sort of combination the best that's worked so far for you, like in this game?
Yeah, I think so. Having a right-handed heavy lineup, it gave me more options to throw that slider. you know, obviously I've been throwing the cutter a lot, but with the lineups being majority left-handed, it's played into, you know, throwing the cutter a lot. So today, throwing the cutter a lot to the right-handers was something new and something we wanted to see I was going to play, and, you know, pairing it with the slider and sinker get off it.
Corbin, with the pitcher not hitting, did you guys get to sit and watch? What was it like to sit and watch that offense today?
That was awesome. Yeah, I think we caught a glimpse of it last night there in the ninth inning. You know, we started swinging it, you know, starting a few hits together, scored some runs late last night, and then, you know, they came out today swinging the bat. You know, when you're scoring runs like that for the pitcher, it makes it really easy on us out there just to go out and attack the zone and just, you know, play loose.
Corbin, you guys probably wish you played tomorrow, but just to get a day like today ahead of a really pivotal homestand against these teams you're chasing, you think something like that can carry over even through an off day?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think our hitters and are starting to get a little rhythm up there. You can kind of see it even some of the outs are they're loud outs. You know, we're finding the barrel, and but yeah, with the stretch coming up that we have, you know, to get that off day to kind of to get that good rest, knowing that, you know, the stretch coming up is going to be a tough one.
Any questions, guys?
Corbin, Detroit's kind of an underrated offense. We've seen them score a lot of runs. What do you think the key was today? You look like you were in a really good rhythm right at the very start.
Yeah, they're just going out there pitching to my strengths. You know, we knew they were going to obviously stack the lineup pretty heavy right-handed. That's, you know, that's their bigger hitters. And that kind of just plays into, you know, the cutter and slider for me and, you know, run the fastball in on those guys. So, you know, we just had a good feeling coming into it. But if they were going to stagger pretty heavy with right-handers, that, you know, it was going to be a good day for the slider, and it worked out.
Corbin, that one pitch that Castro hit, the sinker, was that the only mistake? Was that a mistake, first of all? And how many do you think you'd like back today besides that one?
That one and the one to Miggy. The pitch to Castro was but yeah, supposed to be a two-seamer inside, just kind of ran back to the middle that he got to it. And then Miguel Cabrera, yeah, I believe it was a 2-1 sinker that was just middle down. He's a pretty prolific hitter when it comes to fastballs in the middle of play. We just left it there. You know, good thing we're playing in Cabrera.
We've talked about now with you a couple of times with the way you've been working with Nottingham. Do you start going to lobby council to make sure Jacob's behind the plate every time you're on the mound?
I don't know. I don't know if I've got that you know, pedigree behind me to go and do that. But no, we worked great back there. You know, again today we're on the same page, and even when I'm shaking, he knows, you know, what to go to right after that. Actually was fighting with the mechanics a little bit early. Was flying open a little bit. He knows what to, you know, pitch to call him, what to do to get him back on track. So he was able to, after one or two pitches, to team it back on.
Yeah, there he is, Corbin Burns, the right-hander, after one of the better outings of his career. I think it is. 7 innings, just the one hit, and did not walk a man, faced the one over the minimum through those 7 innings, and 11 strikeouts. By the way, this surprised me a little bit that it wasn't his career high in strikeouts. He had a 12-strikeout game as well. But Corbin, just dynamite today. So was the Brewers' offense, scoring 19 runs. And here it comes down to the final 19-game stretch. We're now in the final third of this season, and it gets underway on Friday, a 3-game set against the Cubs. Going to have the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show for you at 6, and after the last pitch, you make the switch to this show, Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show. But, yeah, it all comes down to this. This is a big, big stretch of games, and as Craig Counsell said earlier, guys, you just got to win. It's not going to look pretty at times, so just get a victory. Don't forget, over the weekend, the NFL is here. Actually, it's here tomorrow, Texans-Chiefs, but that means you get your fantasy football lineups in. We've got you covered Sunday morning. I'll talk to you for the 14th consecutive season, Fantasy Football Weekly, served up by West Bend Sausage Plus on Sunday at 10 a.m. Got a full show, a two-hour show, 10 to noon. And we'll get you ready to win in your first week of fantasy football. 6 leagues for me this year. Sparky's in one. Gary, when are you going to start to play?
Yeah, I don't do fantasy.
Well, he did it like 1 year or 2 years, I think, in the station league.
Did he?
Yeah.
I got too much
other stuff going on, man.
For good luck years ago, I wanted to draft Gary Ellerson.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they wouldn't let me.
No,
I wouldn't let you.
No.
Well, you wouldn't waste a pick on that, Timmy.
Well,
I appreciate you, though.
Okay, fair enough. All right, you guys have a great rest of the afternoon. More Bucks conversation, Packers conversation coming up on the Wendy's Big Show. And I'll leave you with Gary Ellerson's thoughts after I say, smile, Milwaukee, the world will smile back on Pella Windows and Doors.
Yeah, guys, I'm talking with good friends over at Pella Windows and Doors. The 555 is back, guys. It's 5 years, no interest, and 5 months before your first payment, plus 5% bonus savings. The 555 deal from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And the bonus savings applies to windows and doors and insulation, folks. Nobody else is doing that around here. Replace now and get 5% bonus savings on top of 5 years, no interest, and 5 months before your first payment. That's not until 2021, folks. Yep. Pella now, pay later, plus bonus savings if you order by September 15th. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Stop by your nearby showroom or Pella Experience Center or set your free consultation today, folks, at PellaWI.com.
Back to the Wendy's Big Show with Matt LaFleur and what he had to say about this week one game coming up. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur coming up next here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.